Amen. It's good to be out with y'all tonight. I ran into Brother Tim at the Pizza Hut other night, and it wasn't a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe everything has a plan and a purpose. And Brother Tim asked me if I could come, and I said I'd be glad to. And so we got to be here tonight, and I appreciate Brother Tim letting us come and be with y'all tonight. There was a young lawyer, and he said, "I have no hope." He said, "There is no hope." And this young lawyer had contracted a disease that crippled his hands and extremities, and he couldn't use them. He became despondent, and he decided he was going to commit suicide. He was in a motel room in Veracruz, and he said he intended to kill himself, but instead he found something in that motel room that changed his life. He found God's Word. He started reading God's Word, and he found hope for his tomorrow. He found a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. And the young lawyer took that Bible out of the motel that day when he left. He found him a church. He got saved, and today he's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, all this happened because somebody prayed. And somebody gave. And somebody went. And somebody placed a Bible beside an empty bed in an empty motel room somewhere. And who knows, you might have had a part in that, church. And tonight I'm here to thank you for the support you give to the Gideons. The Gideons are passing out more Bibles now than we've ever passed out. And it's just because of churches like this. Support us. I mean, you support God's work. And if it wasn't for you, we couldn't buy these testaments or these Bibles that we get we have the privilege of passing out. And by God's grace, with your help, we were able to place 79,852 scriptures last year in 194 countries and in 93 languages. It's hard to imagine that many Bibles. That's two Bibles every second. When you click your fingers, there's been two Bibles passed out somewhere in them 194 countries. That's hard for me to fathom, but that's how it's going. That's how fast God's getting His Word out. Every 5 days, the Gideons are distributing 1 million scriptures. Think about that for a minute. How God's getting His Word out there. And church, you got a part of that. And I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you tonight, Brother Tim. And I thank God that He's let me be in an association that all we want to do is see other people saved and placed by witnessing and by placing His Word. Now, that's all the Gideons are about. And I thank God He's let me be a part of that. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." I can't do anything. I can't save anybody, but I can plant the seed tonight. I can help water that seed if God opens the door for me to do that. In the country of Hungary, that's a country that was previously behind the Iron Curtain, and the teen suicide rate is very high over there. But one day, a Gideon named Giza went to his home. His home was in a 10-story apartment building that was built when the Soviet Union was in there. They built these big apartment buildings. His home was an apartment in one of them 10-story buildings. But he went in that day, and a young man had jumped out of a window, a 6-story window, and killed himself. And Giza got on the elevator there, and he said when he did, there's an angry man got on there, that elevator too. And Giza said he found out that man was the young boy's dad. And Giza said when he found that out, he went and he talked to him, and he said he was glad to be able to give him. He went in, he talked to him, he gave him a Gideon Bible. He said they talked for about 2 hours, and he witnessed to him. He went through the plan of salvation. When they got through, that angry man prayed to accept Jesus Christ into his life. That's the power of God's Word. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible Word, and I stand on it tonight. I believe there's no mistakes in it, Brother Tim. I'd stake my life on it. Jesus Christ, I was looking up here at the cross. A lot of churches, they got the covenant up in the front, but I was thinking tonight what a covenant that is right there, the blood covenant. I'm glad I'm under the blood tonight. I'm glad I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And in the country of Budapest, when I got to go over to Budapest, God allowed me to go over there. We passed out over 36,000 Bibles in 4.5 days. There were seven of us. But what can God do with 36,000 Bibles? I don't know. I know He can do a lot because He said, "My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish and the thing whereto I sent it. And God, I don't know what all is going to happen over there in Budapest, but I know it's going to be a different place because of God's Word. And it's not just overseas, other people in other countries need God's Word, but right here in the U.S., we need God's Word. The U.S. is the third largest mission field in the world today. They say there's 307 million people, and estimates are over 200 million of our United States citizens are unsaved. Two out of three people you meet on the street in the United States are unsaved. That's a big mission field we got. We got a big work to do. At the Gideon's First Place Scriptures, they placed 25 hotel Bibles in Superior, Montana in 1908. That was the first distribution. Today we distribute Bibles and New Testaments to schools, colleges, hospitals, doctor's offices, lawyer's offices, medical facilities in the jail. We pass them out to the military, the firemen, the policemen. There's over 50. Most people think of motels when they think of the Gideons. There's over 50,000 motels in the U.S. and over 5 million rooms. And when y'all was singing that song, I Saw the Light, it made me think of a student I had when I lived in Louisiana. And he actually found out I was going to Budapest, and I hadn't talked to him in 25 years. But he emailed a letter to my wife, and he told me, he said it was a Gideon Place Bible that led him to Jesus Christ. He said he was in a motel in Garland, Texas, in 2001, and he said he was miserably lost. He was dying in sin. He said he was in that motel. The door was locked, and the shades pulled. And he said he was sick and tired of just being sick and tired. He was at the end of his rope, and he said he was locked in that room, and he opened that Gideon Bible. When you open the Gideon Bible, in the front, there's some places you can go to, some helps. And the very first one says the way of salvation. And Glenn said there's three places right there, three scriptures that tell you how to get saved. Glenn said he read all three of those places. He said that when he got through reading them, he said, in my own way, he said, I bowed beside that bed there in that motel room in Garland, Texas. He said, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. And this little boy was an orphan boy. I taught him in school. He was an orphan. Some friends of ours adopted him. He's my brother tonight. He accepted Jesus Christ. But when y'all were singing that song, Glenn said he tells everyone that he sees. He said he was his eyes was closed. He said his head was bowed. But he said that room lit up. And he said it was kind of a wonderful experience. He said it was kind of a scary experience, but he said it was a wonderful experience. Because he said, now when they sing that song, I saw the light. He said, I know what they mean. He said, he came to the light. And he said he knew before that time he was lost in a dark and dying world in his sins, hell bound. He saw the light. I'm glad I saw the light one day, aren't you? I'm glad Jesus Christ shined in my heart. I'm glad I found the cross. The man that hung on that cross. And the one we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, he didn't need that tomb but for two or three days. He just borrowed it. He come out of it, and thank God he's alive today. And I'm glad I'm his child, aren't you? I'm glad I know him and he knows me. I'm not going to take up too much time. I'll show you some slides here. But, there's a great need out there, folks. There's a great need in Swain County. And just to tell you a little bit of what Swain County Camp's doing, we got 16 members in Swain County Gideon Camp. We got about six that are active. And then we got, 13 auxiliary? 11 auxiliary. We got the smallest camp in Western North Carolina. That's not saying we're not, that we're at the bottom on distributing Bibles. We're not. We're not. But we got the smallest number in Western North Carolina. Men, I'm here tonight, and I believe God led me this way. And I believe God's got to work for some man in this church. I believe God can use you in the Gideons. Maybe more than one. That's between you and God, but there's a need out there. What would it be if people came to Swain County and they went in the motel room and there was not a Bible in the motel? What would that say about our county? What if we went to the schools? We couldn't pass out. What if we didn't have the money to pass out these little red testaments to fifth graders? There's a need out there, church. God can use you. God can use me. It's not me. Not for my glory. It's for God's glory. But there's a blessing in doing what God would have you to do, and there's a blessing in passing out this word. I don't believe there's another book in the world like this book. This is a powerful thing right here. It speaks to you. It can lead you to salvation tonight. It can help you in your trouble and despair. God's got answer in this book. And so these little testaments cost about $1.30. These cost about $5 for a motel Bible. They have a witness of 6 years on average, and they got to say they can reach about 2,300 people in a 6-year lifespan. And so we need your prayers tonight. Above everything, we need your prayers. And we need your financial support. I know y'all help us, and we appreciate that. And we need laborers. God said, look on the fields. They're white, all ready to harvest. He said, pray ye therefore for laborers. That's what I'm praying for tonight, is laborers, more laborers. I hope God lays that on someone's heart tonight. And also, we have in memory cards and honor cards and thinking of you cards. And at our church, we instead of sending flyers when someone passes away, we send in memory Bibles. They're $5. So I guess we'll go. I don't want to hold you too long. Tim wanted me to show us a few slides. So if that's okay, we'll go to that, Brother Tim. Are you going to say anything before we do? Has anybody got any questions? If I don't know them, Lance will.
We appreciate what y'all do.
We appreciate y'all's support. And I'd like to say, too, on a personal note, I appreciate the offering y'all gave me when I got to go to Budapest. The Gideons don't pay for the missionaries. Every dollar that you give goes to purchase and ship scriptures. I appreciate. When I talked to Brother Andy, and Andy said, we got something for you. I appreciate it. Every bit helped. And I thank y'all for doing that for me. And we got a few slides. This is the first time I've shown slides, so hopefully they'll work right. Let's see, did this come on? I got to tell you how the Lord works. They called me and asked me to go, you know, if I'd be willing to go. And I actually knew about 2 years before they ever called me that I was going to go somewhere. I mean, I knew that, and I'd kind of been saving for it. And anyway, they called me and asked me, and I said, well, where's it at? And they said, Budapest, Hungary. I thought, well, where's that at? I mean, I really didn't know. I knew it somewhere in Europe, but I didn't really know where it was. But I said, well, let me talk to my wife and my family. And I just called Cheryl, and she said, yeah, you better go. I mean, it's that quick. So, anyway, I was getting ready to go. I was nervous. Anybody would be nervous going to a strange place, never been before. I mean, I've been to Canada and I've been to Mexico, but outside of that, I hadn't been out of the United States. And who would think a country boy from North Carolina would be going to Budapest, Hungary? I'd never hardly heard of it. But anyway, the way God works, I was getting ready, and for some reason, I kept thinking, I need me some waterproof shoes. You know, I don't know why I thought that, but I do know why now, because God blessed me through that. I kept thinking I need some waterproof shoes, so I looked in the, we looked around, looked in the catalog, couldn't find any waterproof shoes. So I went over to Gibson's shoe store in Andrews, and it's a discount shoe store, and me and Trent went in there, and I looked through all them shoes a couple or three times, and Trent said, Dad said, you've looked at every pair of shoes in here. I said, I know it. He said, let me look one more time. I looked one more time, and on the bottom rack, this pair of shoes, if you could see on the bottom of them, it says waterproof. Can you imagine finding a pair of Bostonian leather shoes at Gibson's shoe store that said waterproof on them. That's no coincidence. God just blessed my heart right there in Gibson's shoe store. And to beat all that, I was going up there to buy them, and the lady said, "You know, these shoes have been sitting there a long time." And she said, "They should be on sale." She let me have these shoes for $15. That's how God works. And I praise God for that. It sounds simple, but God assured me in my heart He was with me. And the assurance God gives you is worth more than money. But thank God for these shoes right here, the waterproof. But we had good weather. It only rained on us once, but I wore these shoes, and every time I put them on, I thank God for them. It's a little reminder that God is real. But hungry here, let's see, get this thing going. And this is just slides. I mean, it's but hungry. If you can see there, it was behind the iron curtain. I think the iron curtain came down in 1989. I believe. I'm not sure about that. But Hungary is right there in the middle of Europe. It's bordered by Romania and the Ukraine and Slovakia. That's where it's at. You can see it there right above Italy, kind of. And so that's where I ended up going. And the Gideon Ministry in Hungary was organized in 1989. It's got 31 camps, and they've placed 2,445,173 scriptures since 1989 over there. That country depends on the United States for Bibles. They don't support themselves. They are growing, though. I mean, they're coming up. And it was a blessing to get to meet some of the Gideons over there. They didn't have the every Bible they get, they depend on us. So it was a blessing to get to be with them. That was the Bible we passed out. It was this. We passed them out one at a time, 36,000 times in 4.5 days. So it was a blessing. That was the Bibles. They stored them in three different places and three different houses. And it was kind of interesting because one of the older men, he actually drove me to a church over there. That first Sunday I was there, I got to speak in a church over there, and he was my driver. And his house, he kept part of one of the stacks, and he was very secretive about it because he had been behind the iron curtain, and I guess he was still apprehensive about, you know, people knowing that he had that many Bibles in his house. But I thought that was interesting. But that's what we started out with on Monday morning, and we started out our days. We'd start out about we'd get up about 5:15. We'd have meat, have prayer, eat breakfast, and then the Gideons from over there, I had a driver and a translator. They would meet us there at the motel, and we would go to wherever we needed to go to that day. And one place we went was nursing homes, and you can see that man there. I mean, a picture's worth a thousand words. It's not like it is here, folks. They never had this. A lot of them have never had this. And you talk about some of them thinking this was a treasure, a pearl of great price. They did. They was appreciative. And this man here, as you go through here, you can just know God's working over there and God's going to change lives. Look how that lady looks. I mean, she was glad to get that Bible. And there was a lady we'd already distributed there and come back through, and she was sitting there reading God's Word. And if you notice, as we go through here, a lot of the hospitals and the nursing homes, they was trying to save power. It was kind of dark in a lot of them. It wasn't well lit at all, really. This was my... The shorter guy was my driver. He was actually a lawyer. He was a Russian. He had been in Russia, left Russia, and come to Budapest. He was my driver. And Miklos, the taller one, he was my translator. And they were both good Christian men. I mean, I was blessed to have them all week. And there was an older man. He couldn't speak a word of English. I couldn't speak a word of Hungarian. He was an older man. He was getting close to 80. He went with us on Monday, but on Tuesday he was going to help us one day. So he came along with us, and he was with us the rest of the week. He was just a blessing to be around. I couldn't communicate with him except through Nicholas, my translator, but I knew he was a man of God. I mean, your spirit communes with people. So I got an email here from, I've emailed them back and forth. I got one email where it was corresponded. I actually sent them an email yesterday, and I said, I don't know if y'all celebrate Easter as Resurrection Sunday. But I said, we're getting ready to do that. And I said, it's just a blessing. So I hadn't checked my email today. They might email me back. But they became dear to my heart. We was together for a week. This is that other man, that older man I was telling you about that got with us on Tuesday. But on Monday when we started out and things didn't go. I mean, you always got things happen that you don't want to happen and it don't go as smooth as you want to sometimes. It went well, but on Tuesday, and I knew what happened because the Lord told me, said, you need to be praying. So Tuesday morning when I got with Nicholas and Vadim, I said, we started out wrong yesterday. I said, we need to start out, which we had our prayer every morning, the ones on our Gideon team, but I figured our team needed to have prayer every morning too. So on Tuesday morning, I said, guys, we need to start out our every day before we go out. We need to have our prayer. And from then on, things went a lot better. Still had some opposition along the way, but it worked out good. This was, we went into the nursing homes, and then we went into schools also. And this school right here was a special blessing to me. We went in that morning on Tuesday. No, this was Wednesday. We was actually in this school on Wednesday. That was the principal sitting over, the ladies was the principal. And we went in there, and some schools would call all the kids to come through the hall. And that's the way she was going to do. And so we went in there, and they had this foyer or whatever. They was going to let the kids come through. And they had that table sitting over there. And me and Miklos was going to get the table. She said, y'all going to put them on this. So we started to get the table. We was going to put our Bibles out there and get ready. And she said, no, no. She said, we got to wash that table first. She said, what y'all are getting ready to pass out is a precious pearl. And she wouldn't let us put a Bible on that table until they had it cleaned. She said, we're going to clean that table. And so we went up, and they're very hospitable people. I mean, we had coffee with her there while we was waiting on the kids to get ready to come out. But anyway, she had that table cleaned, and we put our Bibles out on that table. And this is that same place. And see Miklos, how he's smiling. He said we passed out more Bibles that week than they pass out in a year. But those kids, they came through. I tell you, I broke down that day. God flooded my heart. That was a special place. But it seemed like every kid in there, their eyes were about that big, and they were just so excited to get the Biblia. Uganda Biblia is what you had to say. And you had to say it like that because they thought if that said, I want to give you a Bible as a gift. That way they knew they didn't have to pay anything. So you had to say that, you know, to the adults and stuff because they thought they had to pay. They just couldn't afford it. But if you told them it's a free gift, then they most of the time they'd take it. And anyway, those kids came through there and I was blessed, and Miklos was blessed. Same school, if you look on that bench right there, we was passing them out, they came through. It was amazing how they just came. But anyway, it started thinning down. I looked over on that bench, and them three girls there was reading that Bible, and I told them, and I couldn't speak to them like I'm speaking to you. I had to speak through the translator. But I told Miklos, I said, we got to go there, and we went there. We shared the plan of salvation with those girls on that bench. And that's some more of them there at the bottom in the same school. And then some schools, we went in the classrooms. And when we'd go into the classrooms, we'd tell them about the Bible, what a special book it was. We'd show them how to look up Scripture in it. Then in the back, we'd go through the plan of salvation. We'd say, this is some very special Scripture. And if you feel like God is touching your heart, you can read these scriptures. So that's the way we'd go into classrooms, and that's two classrooms. Some kids would not take them, but most did. The high school, some in the high school were harder than the younger students, fifth graders. But that's two different classrooms right there. And then another way they do it in schools, they'd have assemblies. And this particular school right here, they wanted every student in the school to come in there and let us talk to them. Every student in that school got a Bible. So that was three different ways we witnessed and passed out God's Word over there. And I just thought that was that man there, Zisa, he was from Finland. He was on our team. But look at that girl that took that Bible. Look how she's holding it. It's not something she just threw around. It's something, it was precious to them. And I just saw that little girl reading the Bible, and that little boy took his picture. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." That young man was sitting reading God's Word after we distributed the Bibles. And I want you to look at these two pictures. This was another school, and this was on Friday, the last school, next to the last school I was in before it was over. But if you notice, it started out with three boys there, and Miklos and I was going through the plan of salvation with them. But look at the same picture on the bottom, see how more came in? There was a great interest and a great eagerness. And that's just a special picture to me there that would pass the Bibles out of the school and come back through, and he was sitting there reading that Bible. How many souls got saved, I can't tell you. How many souls will get saved, I can't tell you. But I just know God's got 36,000 more Bibles in Budapest than was there. That was our school distribution. And then that's just another girl there that was just tickled to have a Bible. And then we also went to universities, and I mostly was in schools, mostly where I got to go, but I did get to go to this one university right here, and this was a university for lawyers and judges for the whole country of Hungary. And our goal here was to pass out 600. So we'd been to a couple of schools there, and then we got here, it's about 11:30, and our goal was to pass out 600. And I told them, I said, I wish we could pass out 1,000 here. Let's try for 1,000. So we loaded up 1,000 Bibles there, and that was the college. That was the lawyer university. And it was right in downtown Budapest. But we started passing out those Bibles, and we passed out 600 real quick. We passed out 900, and it started getting a little bit later. And it started slowing down. We passed out 900. And Miklos said, "You know, I think we should go." And I said, "Well, whatever y'all want to do." I said, "I'd like to try to pass out 1,000. But I said, "Whatever y'all feel like." So we stood around there a minute, and a few came by and passed out a Bible or two. A few more came by. And Miklos said, "You'd really like to stay, wouldn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I really would like to stay." So we stayed. Within 20 minutes, we'd passed out another 100 Bibles. That was our 1,000. We had another case in the truck, in their car, and they was getting excited by this time. I mean, we'd hit 1,000, they was going. They said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "You want to try that other case?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go get them." So they went back and got the other case, but in that 20 minutes, the minister of, I wrote that down, he was the, my driver was a lawyer, so he knew the lawyers and stuff there. But in that 20 minutes, had we left, we would have missed this. But in that 20 minutes, the former minister of justice for Hungary came through there. We got to give him a Bible. And in that 20 minutes, a man that had revised the civil law code for the country of Hungary came through there. We got to give him a Bible. And those people that had been coming through, and some of them come through more than once, and they had refused the Bible. But I think within that last 200 Bibles we gave out, every man, every lady, or every man that had refused one, took one in that last 20 minutes. That's how God works. So we passed out 1,100, and we thought we was out, and we got to digging around there, and we found 36 more. So we passed out 1,136 Bibles at that Lawyer University. And it wasn't a real big place. I think just about every future lawyer and judge for the country of Hungary got a Bible that day. I think that's going to make a difference in their judicial system. But when we got through, Miklos said, "You Americans know how to get the job done, don't you?" I said, "No." I said, "We don't know how to get the job done. God knows how to get the job done. All God requires of us is to be faithful stewards." And then there's another story here, and I can't tell you everything, but if you see back there, I'm standing there, and Miklos has his back turned, and that one boy standing there talking to him, he must have talked for 2 hours. He started talking to me, and I couldn't really communicate with him, so I turned him over to Miklos and told him to talk. But anyway, they talked, and Miklos brought him back to me, and that boy was mixed up. I mean, he had some mixed up ideas, but anyway... And Miklos is what they call the Reformed Church over there. They believe in the new birth, but everything that they're not real well grounded in some stuff like we are. So I think that was part of our work too. But anyway, that boy was telling him about different stuff, and I won't go into all that. But anyway, he started asking me, and it was like God was just giving me scripture. You know, I don't have a great memory, but God was. I knew God was giving me scripture to share. Anyway, when we got through, Miklos asked me, he said, "Well, R.L.," they call me Robert. I said, "Robert, because it's easier to say you than R.L. to them." So I said, "Just call me Robert." But anyway, when Miklos asked me, he said, "Well, what are you?" I said, "Well, I'm Baptist." He said, "You know, I think I'm more Baptist than I am Reformed." But that was our university. Then we went into some hospitals, and I want you to look. This was their main. All this was the hospital. They had little houses, and if you see how dilapidated they look, I was hoping and praying I didn't get sick. But that was their hospital. That was where they had like different illnesses in those houses. That was their main hospital floor right there. It was built during the Cold War or whatever. But it looked like a place to go to die. I mean, that's how bad it was. But we passed out Bibles there, and they never had Bibles in the hospital. It wasn't like going out here to Bryson or Sylvan finding a Bible. They didn't have them. They were glad to get them. And the auxiliary over there, this was a little white testament that our ladies pass out to medical support personnel here. And this one's printed in Hungarian. They never had these. The ladies over there never had these. And they got to go and pass them out to nurses and stuff while we was putting them in the rooms. They were tickled to death to get these, the little white Bible. This room right here we went through, and we went through putting the Bibles in there. And if you see that little boy back there in that blue chair, we'd passed them out, and he'd got his Bible. He'd went and asked, I guess that's his grandmother, if he could read that Bible. And so she sold him out. Anyway, we went on down through the aisles there, and when we came back, she was sitting there reading that Bible to her grandchildren.
She's soaking it up just as much as
that. Yeah. But you can see the rooms. They didn't have private rooms. There's at least 2 beds in every room. You just see the table there. I mean, that's the way their hospital rooms were. And this was, and I put this in here just to show you, this was toward the end of that hospital distribution that one day. We got through and got every room. I mean, we got a Bible in all the rooms. But notice the lighting in the hallways there. And that was at the end there. And that night, it was late when we got through. And Miklos is standing beside me over here. He didn't have a car. When we got through, he walked out on the street, called a trolley or streetcar back to his house. That's how dedicated they were. I mean, he gave his whole week to get those Bibles passed out. And I thought that night when he went out there and caught that streetcar, I thought how dedicated, you know, and how unworthy that I am. This hospital, this was the best hospital I was in. We did this on Friday, and we passed out, I think, 1,200 1,200 and some odd Bibles in this hospital. This was the best hospital I saw. It was pretty clean. I thought we was through, and then they wanted the ladies in the cafeteria to get Bibles. So that's what we're doing right there, giving the ladies in the cafeteria a Bible. And that was on Friday. And then on Friday night, we had our pastor's banquet. They never had a pastor's banquet over there before. You talk about being excited. They were excited, and they just tried to do it just as good as they could do it. They had water to drink. You didn't have tea or Pepsi, or they gave us a bottle of water. But the food wasn't bad. I mean, it was pretty good. That was our pastor's banquet, and that was on Friday night. And we was going to leave. We had to be at the airport at 4:30 the next morning. So we had that pastor's banquet, and that was a blessing. But when we got through, we was in 89 schools. We passed out 22,422 scriptures in 89 schools. We was in three universities, and you can see there, three fire stations and police stations. That one of those was a police station. 10 hospitals and 11 nursing homes that we got to go to. So, we passed out 36,141 copies of God's Word in that time that we were there. And this, I just put this in my last slide. We're laborers together with God. Those two men are Gideons and hungry. They're still passing out God's Word. They're still waiting on us to send them scriptures. And that's our job. I mean, that's what God's got us doing. So, but this particular day, it was real crowded. That was so we had to park, I think, like 7 blocks away from the school we was going to, and we hauled the Bibles down there and brought that back. So it was a blessed time, and I thank the Lord that He let me be a part of it. And I brought this picture. This was a picture of our team. There were 7 of us, and I know you probably can't see it, but Dwayne was from Iowa. Let's see, he was from Switzerland. This was from Finland, and the rest of us were from the United States that was there. So I brought that, and anybody got any questions that you'd like to ask her? They were already there. Yeah, they shipped them over. Yeah. And the way it worked, the Gideons over there had actually worked and got places set up, you know, that we could go. So that's how it worked. It worked out real well. They put a lot of work and effort into getting all them places lined up for us. We was just in the city of Budapest. And Budapest is actually... There's a Danube River goes right down in the middle of it, and one side they call Pest, and the other side Buddha. Well, I was on the Pest side. I was a Pest all week. My team was Team 4, so we was they gave us our areas to go through, and it was always on the Pest side. I think there's 4 teams on the Pest side and 3 teams on the Buddha side. Budapest is the capital of Hungary, so it's the biggest, brightest city they got, and it's really a good sized place. I mean, it's bigger than Asheville. Well, yeah, I'd say it's bigger than Asheville. And the architects are on the buildings is unbelievable. I mean, they had to be some well built buildings, because you could see where the bullets and stuff during World War II had hit some of them. And it's really a beautiful place, though. I mean, there's some huge buildings. That church I went to on Sunday morning was built in 1930 something. The governor of Hungary at that time had that church built, and it was a huge church. I mean, it was magnificent, biggest building, biggest church I'd ever been in. Budapest is really and their average income over there is $19,000 a year. So they're not poverty stricken. They're not, you know, our average income is like $43,000. They make less than half of what we do, but they're growing. I mean, that place is growing. So, Appreciate y'all letting me come and share that with you. Appreciate y'all's support. And, man, I'm serious. Be praying about it. If God lays it on your heart, we need some help in Swain County, don't we, Lance? It's hard to meet all the needs that Swain County is needing right now. So
we press our members on the requirements.
To be a Gideon, you got to be a professional or businessman. That means or supervisor. If you supervise three people, and Brother Tim recommends you, you can be a Gideon. Or if you got your own business, you supervise, you can be a Gideon. If you're a teacher, dentist, lawyer, sheriff, you can be a Gideon. business owner. Yeah, you got to be a member in good standing of a church, and your pastor has to recommend you. If Brother Tim recommends anybody in here, we'll be calling you. We're actually going to have and I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're going to have a dinner. If pastors recommend somebody, we're going to be having a dinner, and that we'll get more information to you. But it's just a dinner to tell you more about the Gideons and what's involved. And don't think you don't have enough time. It's amazing how God makes time. I mean, I thought the same thing, but when God starts working, things just fall into place. I mean, and you put as much time in as you can. Nothing says you got to be doing something 5 hours a week or 5 hours a month. I mean, you do what you can. As the Lord gives you time and as you can, then that's what you do. We went on a Bible distribution up at Cherokee. They had a youth revival up there. And there was only two of us on a Friday night. There was only two of us that was loose to go. So the more we got in Swain County, the more the work gets distributed and the less burden it is on one or two. So, and guys, there's a need in Swain County. I mean, God's Word needs to be placed out there. So.